Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. Welcome to All About Android, episode 375, recorded on Tuesday, June 26th, 2018. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Ted Koppel.
You are not Ted Koppel.
What?
Although it would be nice to podcast with Ted Koppel.
It would be great to be Ted Koppel.
To be Ted Koppel
would just be great.
I'm pretty sure Ted Koppel's dead.
Really?
Then it would not be great to be Ted Koppel.
No, not now.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's still alive. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
There we go.
He's still alive.
Ron, you were sick last week. Welcome back.
We are
happy that you're feeling
Thank
better.
You. It is good to be back as New York City goes into sunset dusk time. But feeling better. Was a little sick last week, but all set. Yeah. Itching to talk about Android.
Awesome.
So.
We've got an awesome guest tonight. Welcoming to the show for the first time, Sherilyn Lowe from Engadget, Engadget.com.
Hello.
How you doing, Sherilyn?
Good. Kind of hungry now that you guys have had some food.
I so apologize about that. And I wish that we had it together enough to like send out the Oreo cookies that we're tasting to all the guests ahead of time. But yeah, apparently we're not that good at our jobs. Sherilyn, it's great to get you on. I follow all your work on Engadget and I'm a big fan. But before we get into Android stuff, I have to ask, have you tried any strange flavors of Oreos? And if so, what can you say about them?
None. I am the safest Oreo eater there is.
Wow.
Just give me the regular. I don't even do double stuff or the thin ones. I just go for the regular classics because classics are the best.
Yeah.
They are the benchmark. They are a 10.
Yeah. I think the classic Oreos are the only ones to score a 10.
All Oreos too. Yep. To that Oreo. And that is the Oreo that Android was named after. So just to put that in perspective.
Right.
Not pumpkin spice
one.
Oreo.
Oh, thankfully.
No. Yeah.
No birthday cake Oreo.
Not popping Oreos.
Yes. And it's a good thing. Well, Sherilyn, it's great to have you on. We're going to talk all about all topics within the realm of Android and something outside of that in a second. But we've got we're going to be talking about app signatures for APKs, easier Google account controls, the Huawei MediaPad M5. Flo, you brought that in for a first look.
I did.
The BlackBerry Key 2, which I have a first look on. I got it just this afternoon. Instagram has a four-way video chat now. Fallout versus Westworld, your emails, and a whole lot more. That's a jam-packed show. Before we get into that, though, Sherilyn, you very recently, I think today or yesterday, was this today you posted Amazon Echo Look review? And I know it's not Android, but this is a curiosity in the realm of Echo products.
It's a different product.
It's a very different type of product. I'm very curious to hear kind of your summary. What your experience with the Echo Look? What did you think?
Yeah, it did go up today, the review. This thing had just become widely available. It's been, you know, available to a limited set of Amazon users, I guess, for a while now. So it's not brand new, but like you said, it's not an Echo speaker so much as it's an Echo camera. It takes full-length pictures of you, and you can just trigger it by asking, I can't say the hot word because the speakers in my room will go off. But asking Amazon's assistant to take a photo, and it has these four LED bulbs on the front of it that will light up your picture. It applies kind of an artificial blur bokeh to make you stand out. And then the app, the Echo Look app, is supposed to judge your outfits and tell you if there's something that will pair better with that top or that bottom that you've got on. It's got a bunch of features. One of them is called Style Check, and Style Check has you put two of the pictures you've taken of two different outfits and then let Amazon's algorithm determine which one looks better. So for me, it was more like, okay, which top goes better with this skirt? I put two pictures through to the system, and it often came back something that I didn't like as much. Those are pictures of me doing my best America's Next Top Model pose. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Want to be on top?
Yeah, there you go.
Hey,
and yeah, I mean, it's based on factors that Amazon explains are like fit or color or like, you know, how well these pieces complement each other. And I found that a little problematic just personally. I don't want an algorithm that's written by people to determine what a good shape necessarily might mean. Mm-hmm. Right. Whether it's an hourglass figure, whether someone who's a little, you know, pear-shaped, it depends. Everyone looks a little bit different. I don't want like someone else determining what's good. So I don't know. I'm a little iffy about that. Other than that, though, I am in love with this thing because I take a lot of photos. And, you know, it's nice getting like something that will take full-length photos of you every day if you're someone like me.
Yeah. It's hard to take full-length photos. I can never take one of myself. And if I do, usually it's my dirty laundry in the background, and I can't share that to the internet.
Do you have any worries about, like, I know that some of the worries initially when this was announced was, okay, great, an internet connected camera that exists in, like, is designed to kind of exist in your bedroom where you get changed, that you can, you know, you can demonstrate and put on these different outfits and everything like that. That just kind of seems like it has bad news written all over it, right? Are you concerned about that at all?
Of course. One thing I said in the review was that there's no actual physical shutter to cover the lens on this. So you're going to have to use, you know, tape the way I use for my webcam, which is a disgrace. But then there's also the fact that all the pictures you take sort of exist in the cloud. And when you want to use another of the features, which is style suggestions, you have to basically opt into this program, which is nice. It's opt-in, not mandatory. But then once you do that, all of the pictures you've taken with the Echo Look are shared with these stylists, and you have to manually go in and exclude pictures you don't like. So if you were having, you know, an off day or something, and you don't want the looks on that particular day shared with all the stylists, you're going to have to go in and curate yourself, like which ones to be excluded. So I think that's kind of the reverse way I would do it.
Yeah,
but
totally.
I mean, you know, Amazon's thing is that this is more convenient for the users. You don't have to think about when you take a new outfit and you have to like opt in again. So that's the counterpoint. As for privacy, I am extremely paranoid. So given there are a lot of like rogue cameras in my, I have a smart home camera and I have the Echo Look now, I just refuse to like be totally naked in any space that has any camera in it. I do all my like private stuff in the bathroom or whatever. So I've never actually just stood in front of this mid-changing, you know?
Right. Well, and I mean, to a certain degree, that's kind of unfortunate, right? Like we like to think of our homes as our domain. And sure, there's some benefit, there's some value to making our homes smarter, as you will learn from Flo and Megan on Know
July,
How in a couple of weeks.
July 5th, the day after Independence Day.
But you know, with that smart homifying of our domains, comes with it this kind of discomfort level of like, well, I can't do that anymore, right? I have to actually change my behavior in my own place. If I want that to exist in my house, I guess that's a choice everybody has to make. It's just kind of too bad.
Yeah, it's sad. But also, though, I like the thing. Again, I'm a vain person. So, and it's also, it'll double as an echo as well. Just don't play any music on it. The audio is awful, but you can do things like, oh, set a timer or, you know. Read me a joke. Tell me a joke.
What's the weather like?
Yes. There the command we probably all ask our smart home devices more than anything else.
Oh, yeah. That's
what's the weather today?
Oh, mine is, what time is it?
Oh, really?
Yes.
I never ask what time
while I'm getting ready, my phone's charging and I'm just like doing my makeup and I'm like, Googs, what time is it? Googs, what time is it?
Man, I never ask that. Always the weather. It's always what's my day like today, and then it does its
I should put batteries in my clock, but
Yeah, that's a good idea. Cool. Well, if you guys want to know about the Echo look, check out Sherilyn's write-up on Engadget. Did post today, and all of your other great work is there as well. Let's dive into the news. If you're ready for it, Victor, it's time for the news.
Android news is like a full-body selfie without the dirty laundry. Well, maybe.
Nice. On the fly.
Well, I don't have any dirty laundry for you, but there is there's some concerns over what's going on with the Play Store, and now that we've sort of have... Well, it's not exactly DRM. So the Play Store has what are now called app signatures, so not exactly DRM, and no, sideloading is not in danger. So here's what's going on. A new feature rolled out last week that will add metadata to APK files once signed by the developer. This metadata proves that the APK originated from the Play Store, not from the internet or some other... Well, I mean, technically that is the internet, but not from some wary source on the internet or someone's, you know, backyard, backdoor app store, right, wherever you're getting them.
Buy one, get one half off.
APK Signature Scheme version 2 was initially introduced in Android 7.0 and allows for this extra level of verification. And Google says that this allows for apps obtained via peer-to-peer sharing to be validated with confidence and to allow them to still be updated via the Play Store. So kind of like tracking where this is coming from to make sure that it didn't come from some crazy den of some person who's trying to just ruin everything for everybody. There is some worry that this could be considered DRM and that the operating system might someday block apps without that metadata, but there's no evidence that supports that just yet. So it's kind of like more, let's think about this as a watermark than thinking about this as like, you know, tying you to the post DRM. Like, this isn't a goat tied to the post.
Right.
You know, this is a free range cow that is tagged on the ear so that you know which farm it came from.
The goat reference was not necessary. Mateo was nowhere near this episode.
And I just decided to commit to it.
I like it, though. I like the commitment. I mean, this is a good thing, I think, right? Like, I think that there are the fears of DRM, and DRM is a bad word to a lot of people. It implies control or rejecting things that don't qualify, but this isn't necessarily doing this. This is just extra information. What do you think about this kind of extra level of detail, Sherilyn?
Yeah, no, I think the analogy that Flo gave was pretty good, right? It's just a watermark. It tells you its provenance. We all could use some apps that we trust more nowadays, especially. I am curious as to how this is going to work on, like you said, like third-party but legitimate app stores like Amazon Underground, or if Amazon's app store will have something like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the full, like, how this will work and really how most app stores work. So I don't want to go there too deep. But in general, I'm not too worried. I think this will either work itself out or just be a good thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Like, I know that the developer would have to actually alter their code in order to flag this kind of Play Store, you know, part of the code in there. I'm guessing that the APK that they upload to the Play Store would be different from the APK that they upload to the Amazon App Store. Or maybe not. Maybe it exists on those APKs as like a general piece of metadata that can coexist, you know, and it's stamped from...
Well, if it's Google Play metadata, then I would assume it's not going to be a part of the whatever's in the Kindle, like the Amazon App Store package.
So then there's an app that exists on the Play Store. The same app exists on the Amazon App Store. The APK on the Amazon App Store wouldn't have that metadata on it.
No.
So that ends up being the APK that gets shared around that you have less trust in because that metadata doesn't exist there. I don't know. I feel like... Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a kind of confusing.
Yeah, those apps have to be those Amazon apps have to be optimized for Amazon's like the method that you'd pay in-app payments.
Right, it's its own system.
Whatever it's got going on there, but you know, this is a good way to tell whether the stuff is coming from the Play Store. Like for instance, when I try to sideload Pokemon the card game online onto a phone, it's a tablet only app.
Okay.
Yes, but sometimes it works on the phone. It's just very tiny.
Right.
So, you know.
All right. Well, I guess if anyone's listening, any developers, actually, I'd love to hear from developers on this to kind of see what you think about this, because this is yet another restriction for you guys and gals to have to kind of bake this in. Is it worth it to you?
Yeah, but I gotta imagine that it's gonna see the value of doing that in Google's eyes.
Sure,
you know, because really it's about that consumer trust and all stuff like that. So any developer who's anti it, I'd be very curious to hear what the negative opinion of it is.
Right, what the reason is behind that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see here. Google is clearing things up, working on cleaning up its account management process on Android first. So this is one of those times where desktop and iOS aren't going to get this for a while, but Android gets it first. They've updated Google account interface for Android. Categories have been renamed across the board. They've really kind of gotten in there and worked with the flow of how this is set up. You know, it's so often you dive into, and I've noticed this myself, dive into a Google account settings, and it's just a tree upon tree of,
yes,
of information and sections, and some of these load immediately, and some of them seem to jump to a separate web page, and it gets really confusing and really mucked up super fast. So they've kind of renamed and sorted things a little bit better, made it a lot more visual on the mobile screen, added search, which, hey, surprise, a search company added a better search into their product.
Yes.
And, you know, so instead of having to know exactly where to go to find it, you just do the search for the thing you're looking for and it'll take you right
Indexing?
There.
Indexing? That's just what we do.
Hey, wait a minute. We are that company.
Yeah.
And also alerts that will trigger when Google notices that there are areas or shortfalls within your settings in ways like privacy considerations. So, for example, removing your account from an old phone. You know, your account still exists on an old phone. You haven't used that phone in a while. Maybe it'll pop something up and say, hey, maybe you don't need to do that anymore. So clarifying these things, we're in such a time right now of privacy awareness and everything. So, you know, Google is among the really large companies that's very easy for users to get super confused as far as what their data actually, you know, what it's actually doing. This is a way to control it. So I don't see anything bad with that about that.
What is your data doing?
What's your data doing, really? Seriously. Email.
All right, we got an email. Brett wrote in and says, on the many forums I follow, including Reddit and Samsung's own forum, there has been a mass rejection by Samsung of trade-in devices for people who purchased devices many months ago. Everyone got the rejections on about the same day earlier this week and were charged $200 to $400 for their denied trade-ins. I had two rejections, which were totally inaccurate, including a claim one device didn't power on. I'm really hoping this outcry gets some steam on the Android front. There have been horror stories of trade-in rejections in the past, but to have a sudden denial of so many devices at the same time, so long after they were sent in, is fishy to me.
Hmm.
So this is definitely something stinks in Samsung land.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Rotten fish.
So this is in relation to Samsung's trade-in system program, whatever you want to call it, that they announced. I don't know if they started it last year with the last year's generation of products, but basically very modern phones, you know, and you can trade them in, and given all of these requirements are satisfied, you get a trade-in value that you're quoted online prior to sending them your device.
Google does the same thing.
Google does the same thing. But like I did a search on this prior to the, you know, before the show. And yeah, it seems like a lot of people complaining about sending in their phone, knowing for a fact that it was in perfect working order, and then hearing back from Samsung to say, no, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. And the problem is that they say in their terms of service, if you check out their fact, they say, if it's deemed ineligible for trade, Samsung will value it at $25, charge you the trade-in credit that was applied to the purchase of what you got, so the S9, S9 Plus, whatever, that trade-in credit, suddenly you get charged for the difference, minus the $25 value, and then your old device cannot and will not be returned to you. So people who send it in saying, well, this is in perfect working order, expecting to get that trade-in value, and then they're told, no, this wasn't working, so therefore you're not getting it, and you're not getting your phone back. They're out of luck.
That's what's super sketchy is that when you know the phone is in working order, you send it, and then you hear back that they're saying that it's not, but you have no way. It's like their word against yours, yeah. And there's no proof or anything like that. That's not cool. That's not very good at all.
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know, Sherilyn, what do you think about this? I mean, obviously, it's really hard to validate, right? Like, that becomes the really big issue here is how do you know that Samsung was right when they said it? Also, how do you know that you might not, you might be wrong?
I am entitled enough to just want to ask for them to give me proof.
Yeah.
Just be like, what do you mean? Show me a video. You should have taken a video when you received it too. I mean, and I think, you know, some of the advice that you guys are giving here is to, on the user's part, document everything before you send it in. And that's, again, me as a paranoid freak, I would do that.
Yeah.
But also, it just sounds like those terms of agreements for the $25 valuation of a phone that just is deemed ineligible. That sounds like a ripoff if it were anything like an S8 or up. So I don't know. It sounds like pretty shady. I would ask Samsung for an answer if you were stuck in this situation.
Yeah, imagine if enough people were complaining about this, it would put the burden on Samsung to have to prove it to some degree. But of course, they're spelling this all out in the terms of service. So of course, they're giving themselves the ultimate out on this.
The TOS.
I know.
The dreaded TOS.
Always terms and conditions come around and bite you.
Put a clause in there. It doesn't matter what happens. If all your hair burns off, it's not our problem.
Yes.
That South Park episode.
Well, and Samsung has been known to burn off people's hair.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
True.
It's very true. Well, it's true. It's
I actually
history.
Forgot for a second until you reminded me. Thank you.
You could also choose not to send it in to Samsung. Like, there are other ways to do this. Best Buy has a trade-in program where you can take it in. And when you're doing that, like, you're there during that process, right? Like, you're both seeing it in its condition. You don't have to make the decision to buy with the trade-in assumed and then send your device away. You're there making the trade-in, and you can kind of go over with them and, oh, hey, the power button doesn't actually work. Never mind. I won't do this, you know, and maybe you change your plan then. So maybe that's another option. I don't think it helps Brett. But.
Twit advertiser. I don't know if they're still an advertiser, but Gazelle.
Yes.
That's another option as well, too. If you want to send in your smartphone and get a new phone, trade it in for a new one. I haven't heard any cases of them rejecting. You know, they seem to be pretty reputable.
Yeah.
Long-time advertiser. So, yeah.
Gazelle, definitely a sponsor on the Twit network. So you have options. I mean, you don't have options after the fact. And that's the real big bummer is that once you send it out, if you didn't, like Sherilyn said, take pictures of everything, take videos of everything prior to sending it off. And even that might not protect you fully, right? Like, they could even say, well, yeah, maybe you shot that video 2 weeks before and then the power button broke and you sent it to us.
So it's your word against ours.
It absolutely is. It's a real big risk.
And then that's
risk
when you go, look at the metadata on my video that I sent you. And actually, you can't just make that stuff up.
How deep do you want to go?
Because, just document everything.
Also, yeah.
If you're sending stuff in, then there's also the danger that it got damaged in the mail, which has happened before to me. So that just is, don't do something that's sent in. Like Jason said, take it in person.
Yeah, if possible. Yeah.
Just sell it. I just sell it to somebody in person. I just try to find somebody who wants it off of me.
Do you do like the Craigslist thing?
No, I do Burke.
Okay.
I take a power drill and I drill it through the CPU and everything, and then I throw it in the river.
No one gets this, and
one gets mine.
You tie a boulder to it, and then drop it in the river so that it.
Well, the hole in the drive just really solidifies the hole. Ron is hiding something.
Man, Ron just really does not want anyone to have access to his phone.
Listen, you never know. You never know.
In this day and age, you can never be too careful.
It's sensitive information.
All right, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we will get into some really cool hardware stuff. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Buy Quicken Loans. If you've been through the mortgage process, I've been through the mortgage process. It's not the most fun process in the world. There are a whole lot of ways that it wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home or even refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's also powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. It's all based on, you know, the most important data, your income, assets, your credit. Rocket Mortgage takes all of that, can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify based on that, and then find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. And with that, we've got some hardware in the house. It's time for hardware. We do have some hardware in the house, but we're not going to get to that yet. Ron's going to take the thing that we don't actually have in the house yet.
Talk about some hypothetical hardware. I was actually, when I wasn't on the show last week, I was lamenting about the lack of any real wacky stuff in the Android world these days. And that's why I was so delighted to see this story. We often argue about iPhone, iOS, Android, which one's better, which one. Why can't you not have both?
Not both.
I feel like we've talked about this product already.
Yeah, probably.
Or it's been out there in the world. But this is an iPhone case that has an Android device running on the back of it. And it's called the iSmart Case. And it was funded on Indiegogo last year. I feel like that's when we talked about it. But it's now available. And for the low price of $135, which isn't that bad, but so basically it's got an iPhone case, for the front of your device and then has an embedded 5.7-inch Android, device running behind it. And what you can do is you can transfer files between both devices via the Lightning port on the iPhone. And it's got a 2800 milliamp battery, that keeps the Android device running, but also charges the iPhone device if needed. It supports wireless charging through the screen of the Android device, which is crazy. It brings back a headphone jack, which is great, and mirrors the camera interface to the other screen for a selfie mode. So you can actually see the image of the iPhone rear-facing camera on the screen of the Android phone, which is crazy. And of course, it's got an IR blaster. And if you're looking for some sort of size context, it's slightly smaller than a Mophie juice pack. And like I said, it sells for $135. In the video here that we're running here that ran on iMore, this is a prototype unit that was actually running, I think, Android 6. But it claims it's going to run Android Oreo. It's going to be up to date running that. So this is bananas. Sherilyn, would you want to have both operating systems available at the same time? And would this be the form factor you wanted in? Or
I am flabbergasted. This is ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. But I kind of want it for all the things you just said, like the camera interface for having that selfie thing on the back camera, I guess. Is that what it does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What processor does this thing run? I mean,
that's a good question. Actually,
I don't know the specs of that, but I gotta imagine because the case is so thin, it can't be anything powerful.
It's an MTK 6739V.
Oh, MTK. That was the best processor.
So you can do that. You can do one thing on that at a time, maybe. But I think that wireless charging through the screen is pretty cool. I think there are some little uses of this that stand out as potentially useful. But other than that, this looks like God. Well, I don't know.
Your comments beg the question is, what's the purpose of it?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
you know, like aside from being able to have best of both worlds and use iOS apps and Android apps, how many apps out there that are run on only one or the other that you need to justify both? Like, I was scratching my head on it. I mean, aside from the circus sideshow aspect of it, it just looked crazy. I don't really know what the use case is to use it. You know,
I have another quick question. Since you're talking use cases, you did say that you can transfer files between the two OSs, right? What sort of storage does this have?
Store like onboard storage.
Yeah, does it have any onboard?
It says 256 gigs of storage, but
that's not
I'm
bad.
Which is good. I'm pretty certain that's through the SD card slot. So I don't know if there is true
onboard. It's 32 gigabyte onboard, expandable.
There we go.
256 expandable with a micro SD card.
So 32 onboard, which is not amazing, but
2800 milliamp battery, it would have which to have is like for two screens.
And also, no, let's not forget that there's... Just for the one.
Separate.
It's for the battery pack, and it can charge the iPhone battery if you need to.
I'm sorry, 2800 is not enough for that.
No, it's not. Yeah.
This is a 5.7-inch display, right? And
everything is 3,000 or up now. All the good stuff. Yeah. Except for this little.
But this is a case that your iPhone slides into. It's different.
Well, also, one thing that we glossed over is that the case supports dual SIM cards. So you can actually have, if you include the iPhone in the case, you can have three SIM cards active and functional. So if for some reason you need three phone numbers, you can have that with one phone.
Cool. And if you need three phone numbers, please let us know. AAA@twit.tv. We want to know why.
I mean, if you've got three boyfriends, you need three phone numbers.
I see why I want this thing.
There it is.
You got your side bay on one side and your other side bay on the other. I mean,
I'm not going to say that word. I said it once on the show many months ago, and it was a disaster. So you can, though, and I appreciate that you just did. Another feature is that the Android side. So when you're talking on the iPhone, on the other side, right, is the Android screen. And that can be always on. So it's basically like a live wallpaper phone case.
Yeah.
Cool.
Whatever you want to put there, right? See, we're coming up with all sorts of use cases.
That's just about what that processor can do, handle.
put up a screensaver.
Hey, listen, $135 for Insanity is not a bad price.
Totally.
$135 with no cellular connectivity, it says here on the screen now.
Right.
Yeah.
So no dual SIM on the $135 version.
Right. Starting at $135. $159 if you want 4G cellular capability.
You get a headphone jack.
Yeah.
It's got the headphone jack. That's worth $135 alone, right?
Yeah.
And the IR blaster.
See?
Yeah.
Turn your TV off and on.
See, if you added all of these features separately, we're talking well into the $300 to $400 range. Yeah. But it's like because it's all in one phone case, economies of scale.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. Good. So I guess we're not getting that. Are we going to get the Huawei MediaPad M5 flow?
Or
it's probably too soon to tell.
Our viewer Mohammed might.
Oh, that's true. Okay, read the email first.
So
we've actually
before we go into the next hardware block, we've actually got an email that's related. So let's start it off with this email from our viewer, maybe listener Mohammed, regarding the sad state of Android tablets. I'm not able to locate a suitable Android tablet today, which I need primarily for media consumption. I'm not able to find one that actually ships with Android Oreo. I'm really shocked by this, given that we are close to the public release of the next version of the operating system. And even the newest top-of-the-line $400 Samsung tablet comes with 7.0. Even the Asus ZenTab that I think Ron recently replaced his old Nexus tablet with only comes with Marshmallow. I don't know if this day and age, especially with Android, it is safe to run an outdated OS like that. I thought about the Asus Chrome OS tablet that was announced recently, but that seems to be only available for education. So, which is why Huawei offered us a review unit of this MediaPad M5. This is the 8-inch one. And so I wanted to get it in and kind of see what... I haven't touched another Android tablet since the Tab S3.
When's the last time we've spent a bunch of time with an Android tablet? It rarely happens anymore. There just aren't that many.
So, I don't have Wi-Fi here. That's right. I didn't put it on Wi-Fi yet. Sorry. But I want to show you how quickly. Whoop.
That turns on. That's a fingerprint sensor.
Nice. I think it's supposed to do gestures, but I haven't really figured those out yet.
Okay.
So, but it, you know, haptic every time. This is a glass tablet. And if you look on the back, it actually reminds me a little bit of the Nexus 7.
Oh, okay.
The back of the Nexus 7 a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying too hard there. So let's read off these specs really quick. Glass body, 8.4-inch IPS LCD display. It's a 2K display with a 16 by 10 ratio. This is an 82% screen-to-body ratio that Huawei states. Android 8.0 with EMUI 8.0. So this interface that's on here is the interface that you get with the Huawei MediaPad. And it's not exactly Google's idea of Android. But, you know, if you're okay with extra apps like a bunch of tools you didn't ask for being installed. And
let me guess, you don't like EMUI. Booking.com,
I can't delete, even though I don't use it. We've got Facebook Messenger, which is, you know, the eye of all evil right there. It can't remove it. So there you go. That always annoys. It annoys me. I don't want Facebook and Netflix on here. Like, I don't use those things.
Yeah.
But I did put other things on it. Put my Pokemon on there, of course. Put my Dark Sky app. I put my Plex so I can watch my 90210 DVDs. So nice thing about this. So it runs on a Kirin 960 processor, which is made by Huawei. It's got 32 gigs of storage, 4 gigs of RAM, and a micro SD slot up to 256 gigs. And the nice thing about this is it's got dual Harman Kardon speakers. So
this is almost as good as your home stereo.
No, but 90210 sounded really great. And like right at the beginning, you know, when in season 2, when we have the new theme song with the like guitar solo and it's like really intense.
Are you a 90210 yes. fan? I couldn't tell.
It sounds so good on this tablet. It's just like, it's like, you know, and it's dual speakers. So it sounds nice. That is to say, it sounds very nice for a tablet. It also does it have a headphone jack? Oh.
No.
It doesn't have a headphone jack.
Wow.
It doesn't have a headphone jack. But it has a USB-C connector right here. Fast charging. 13 megapixel on the back. 8 megapixel on the front.
It's a pretty stacked tablet.
5100 milliamp battery. And that high-res dual Harman Kardon assistant audio. And really, when you say Harman Kardon, you mean Samsung.
Yeah, it's true.
They own them now.
That's true.
So this is a Huawei tablet with Samsung speakers.
You mentioned the Nexus 7. So
yeah,
Burke went ahead and pulled one into the studio so we can do a little bit of side-by-side. They're tablets.
It reminds me more of the Nexus 9 than the Nexus 7.
A little bit.
And now the back. No, so you said glass design. Is this actually glass or is that?
No, I'm sorry. The front is all
okay,
glass.
Okay. So
yes, and glass. It's also very fingerprinty.
Yeah.
As you can see.
Of course.
But very.
That's life.
I'm really enjoying this. I'm going to be using it. I'm going to write about it. I'm going to see what it is because I haven't used a tablet besides. I actually stopped using the Samsung Tab S3. As soon as I got
your Chromebook, right?
Pixelbook.
Yeah. Pixelbook.
Yeah.
Huawei tablets. Sherlyn,
look at that. Beverly Hills, 90210. Brenda Dillon Kelly, TV Love Triangle poll.
Actually, I think probably the more appropriate question for you, Sherlyn, is 90210, yay or nay?
Never seen it.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, you're only upsetting two other people on this show.
It's on Hulu. You can start at the beginning. And summer's the perfect time.
The music is not the same as it was back in the 90s. They can get all the rights to the same music. So it's all some awful stock music. Yeah. But anyway.
Oh, wow. You're selling
I will say that does ruin my favorite scene used in R.E.M. song.
Yes.
And now they don't have the rights to the R.E.M. song. So it's a really bad stock song. And it's just not the same.
Oh, yeah. That sounds bad.
I have a lot worse TV taste, so it's okay.
Oh.
Well, now I'm curious. What's one of those shows? If you're willing to reveal.
Yes. This is where me and Jennifer Lawrence have something in common. We both love watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's start it.
You're in good company.
Cool. This show is 50% Kardashian at this point. Okay, so but Sherlyn, do you have much experience with Huawei hardware? I guess right now is a very politically charged time for Huawei, so it's interesting to talk about some of their hardware on the show given that context. But what do you think about them in general?
How they produce? This is my laptop that I use for most things. Like I go, I take it to shows. I take it when I'm traveling. It's the Huawei Mate Book X, which they released last year. They make really good hardware. Huawei makes really good hardware. They do kind of need to step up their software. EMUI has its flaws. It's improving on its phones. I'm not sure what the tablet experience is like. I did get the MediaPad, both the 8 and 10-inch versions, because they actually had that at MWC this year. Not blown away by their tablets, because they've actually just been doing a consistently good job for a few years on tablet hardware. I think just because I'm kind of bored by tablets now, really, if you're not a Samsung, Apple, or Lenovo, I'm not really paying attention to the tablets they make. Lenovo does have some interesting, you know, the Yoga Book was an interesting concept and technically is a tablet because it's quite thin. If they do show off that Yoga Book second generation soon that they teased at Computex this year, that will be a very interesting one to see. Might actually be useful for both multimedia and getting some work done. So who knows? And then as for the rest of Huawei's hardware, I love the P20 Pro. I love that phone. Mm-hmm. It's sad that we don't get it here in the US. I'm not actually sure if any of those concerns are valid. So
right.
I can't comment. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to know, to look through all of that to know exactly how to feel about that. It's just a strange time right now. But I would agree. Their hardware is always very impressive. I mean, they are a dominant force when it comes to mobile, you know, phones in particular, and then also tablets worldwide. They are. It's mm-hmm. just they have a tricky situation here in the United States, to say the very least.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So the MediaPad M5, you're going to be writing about that, right?
Yeah, I'm going to write about it somewhere.
Cool.
I'll let you guys know where I write about it.
Yeah.
But just to let you know, price and availability, it comes in three versions, 8.4-inch one in space gray for $319.99. Regular, there's also a 10.8-inch one that's in space gray for $359.99. Or you can get a 10.8 Pro version in champagne gold for $459.99.
Champagne gold.
Champagne.
Champagna.
So luxurious.
Wait, what does the Pro do that the regular doesn't?
That is a great question that I did not prepare beforehand.
It's gold, of course.
It is gold.
I'm assuming, besides it being bigger, no, it looks like it's pretty much the same specs. It's just bigger.
Oh, between the 10.8 and the 10.8 Pro.
It's got pen support. The Pro has pen support.
Oh, thank God. Thank God it's got pen support.
There you go. So that's their note tablet.
And obviously comparison. A larger battery.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of screen to power.
Cool.
10 inches of screen is a lot of screen.
Yeah. All right. And then I showed up to work today. And there was a box for me. And inside the box was
the
BlackBerry Key 2. Oh, sorry. I'm going to keep the Nexus 7 in the background just as a reminder of years past. The BlackBerry Key 2, and we actually talked about this a couple of weeks ago, so we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this. Like I said, I just got it. So I'm about to head off on a road trip. I leave on Friday. I'm going to be gone for like 10 days. And I'm going to be bringing this with me. It's not BlackBerry phones don't necessarily speak to, don't scream camping road trip to me, but I'll take it along anyways.
Kinda
I mean, it does have,
for you.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get some.
When you're working on that important meeting document on your camping, you want your BlackBerry key to be with you. So
when I'm trying to light a fire with no matches,
this
BlackBerry is going to come in really handy.
You're going to be that guy.
Yes. I'm going to be at the campsite typing out, my book that I'm working
on.
Yes.
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Put your thumb on that space bar and hit it.
I didn't even have to hit it. I just put my thumb on it.
Well, do you like the feedback on the space bar? Because I love the feedback on the Key 2 space bar.
I want to type with it.
Like the clicky
yeah.
feel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love a good click.
Now that you mention it, the space bar has a different click than all the other
keys. It has a different click from the other keys. I think because I don't know if it's because by design or anything.
Yeah.
It feels good.
No, it's really nice. I mean, like I said, I got this a couple of hours ago. I'm totally just, you know, getting used to this idea of having physical keys again. And Flo's walking her fingers over because she wants to tap on the keyboard. The space bar, here, I'll give it to you and you can do it in your camera. Fine. The space bar does have a fingerprint sensor embedded into it. So that's how, you know, you authenticate yourself, basically. 35 milliamp hour battery with quick charge 3.0. The Snapdragon 660 processor, 6 gigs of RAM. Backlit keys. They are touch enabled, so you can swipe left and right on the keyboard, and that's going to swipe you around the interface if you're on the home screen. But right now you have that thing up, so get out of that. There you go. Just swipe left. There you go.
There you go.
You were getting complicated. It was like, I don't know what to do. I'm just a BlackBerry.
You knew me. I'm always complicating.
Dual 12 megapixel sensors on the back at f1.8 aperture. Speed key on the side. So on the right side, there are three things. It's a volume rocker on top, power button in the middle, and a speed key on the bottom. The speed key is like a contextual shortcut. So if you happen to be at work and you hit the speed key, it will surface things that you can select, shortcuts that you can select that would tie into work. So say it detects that you're in a meeting associated with your calendar. That button would have a different function than if you were connected to your Wi-Fi at home, and it would give you different stuff based on that context. Also driving when it's connected to Bluetooth. So Sherilyn, it sounds like you've had at least a little bit of hands-on time with this. What are your thoughts so far?
I'm intrigued that they finally have a dual camera. That was always the biggest thing that was holding me back from going whole hog and using a BlackBerry as my primary driver, which is pretty bad cameras. The selfie camera was fine. It was just okay. The rear cameras were also just okay. There are no Pixel 2. There are no, like, you know, Galaxy S9 or a P20 Pro. I don't know if, like you, I have to get adjusted to physical keys again.
Yeah.
Typing on that thing was slightly confusing. So if you open up a messaging screen right now, I don't know if by default they've enabled the predictive typing thing. Or like a texting. Maybe just texting?
Hold on. I'm trying to get into... I hadn't set
you're
that up
camera.
Yet. Yeah, okay. Well,
they have an interesting shortcut where when you start typing, like, your message, and they'll show the three predictive suggestions, and you swipe up, sweep in the word that corresponds to that area. I mean, that took me a little bit to get used to, but once I figured it out, that actually got me typing much faster than I expected to on this thing.
Yeah, that's a holdover from BlackBerry 10.
I think, I didn't realize that because I'm not a big BlackBerry user at all. Yeah. But this phone with its, like, the design is also better from before, from the Q1. It's just sleek. It looks, I have the silver one. It looks a little more modern, I guess. Everything about the Key 2 is kind of working for me. So I don't know. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm intrigued too. I just don't know if for my own personal use, like, the ship has sailed on physical keys versus tapping it out on a touchscreen. Like, one thing I have noticed in my short time is when you want to type, like, these are actual keys, right? So just picking up a phone and going really fast, like, I'm so used to doing that on a touchscreen that I can move really fast. You don't have to push down hard on your fingers in order for those keys to register, but you do here. So picking up my finger, you know, holding it with one hand and typing with the other, which is probably not the ideal way. You want to hold it like this and maybe type with your thumbs to be more efficient. But I'm so used to doing this that when I do it, it takes more effort to, like, push down than it does to just go and tap through it. So I guess over time you probably just get better at this particular paradigm, you know.
Have you tried swiping, swipe typing on this thing?
Swipe typing. Oh, wait a minute. Between keys?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
I think so. Try that.
No. Oh, do I have to hold it down?
Is your cursor on there? There you go.
Well, you don't have to
hold. I'm swiping. Look, I'm typing so fast.
It's supposed to work. I think you might have to enable something. I'm not sure 100%, but...
Yeah, I might have to. I'll have to play around with that.
Yeah.
Man, that would be weird swiping on an actual physical keyboard. I don't know about that. That's going to take some. And then there's a universal shortcut key. Okay.
That's obviously me thinking too. But yeah, you have fun with it.
I've got a lot to figure out, I think, on my camping trip sitting in front of the campfire.
Are you going to do a review when you get back?
I will shoot a review sitting in front of the campfire.
Yeah.
No, I will not do that.
Shoot it.
Yeah. Oh, well, then that'll be a completely different video. Okay. She'll want it to be posted on YouTube. I will definitely review this when I get back. The review, I'm guessing, is probably going to end up on the screensavers. I will definitely check in on this here when I get back as far as my experience while I'm...
I want to hear how you feel with it out in the dirt world, because... Yeah. You know,
physical keys,
I mean, if
and
you,
dirt.
The
don't
stock
seem
photos
like
associated with BlackBerry are, you know, a person who's very sharply dressed and is in a city with their latte, and they're running from meeting to meeting, and, you know, I've really got that meeting.
I've got an important campfire to get to.
Yes. I'm very curious, because, like, I found that I enjoy taking my Pixel 2 out to the world because it's light, it's easy to cart around. I don't, you know, worry if it gets dirty, I just wipe it off. But I'm very curious, how do you feel with physical keys in the world?
Yeah.
You know? Outside of the city.
I will say it's been more than a decade since I had a phone with a physical keyboard, and every now and then I do miss it. Like before Android, I was on Windows Phone with my HTC with the slide-out keyboard, and I love that thing, man. It was great.
I feel like they made keyboards different back then, though, because this keyboard just doesn't feel the same as all those other QWERTYs I've used over the years.
To be honest, it's too small. I want to bring back the keyboard the size of the screen that slides out. I know it makes it thicker, but...
Like Moto Droid?
Yeah, exactly.
Droid. I'm not sure. Actually, all these keys can be assigned shortcuts, it looks like. So that's kind of nice.
Cool.
You could set it up, really customize it. The BlackBerry Key 2. All right, let's transition from the hardware into the apps. Was I right to give you the Instagram story, Flo?
Well, so they've been doing a lot of stuff. Like, there's, you know.
This has been a big year for Instagram.
VidCon was last week, and I was reading a little bit about it today from the journalists who attended. And I guess the Instagram is getting so much buzz around the creator community just because of, like, how easy they're making it for people to just share their lives. And on that note, Snapchat not having as much buzz as it used to, but... That's beside the point. But now Instagram is rolling out video calling starting today. So this is important for a reason. But first, let me tell you about it. So up to 4 people in a group can call via Instagram Direct. You can minimize the video call while you are browsing the rest of Instagram. So you can still have, like, your chat going on while you're, like, while you're basically hate Instagramming someone, which I would say don't do that, because that's, come on. But I know you're going to do that, because we're all going to do that anyway. It's kind of like the Snapchat 16-way calls, or the FaceTime 32-way calls, which are going to happen. I know there's an app called House Party. I think it's for iOS.
House Party kind of started this,
which does
large
eight-way
numbers
calls.
Of video chat at once.
You know, Instagram has 1 billion users, and I think this feature directly corresponds to that fact, because I know in my social network, I've left Facebook. I'm pretty much 99% gone, even though I still have an active profile there. It's just not a place that I really enjoy being anymore. It's not a safe place for me. Instagram has become a much safer place for me. I talk to all my besties. We have little Instagram direct messaging groups where we share memes and we share, you know, celebrity news and, you know, our trips. We'll send, you know... images to each other throughout the day. And so I can imagine this to be used as a part of that, you know, as part of just another way to communicate.
It's funny because I just had this conversation, not about this functionality, but the IGTV functionality, Instagram TV stuff. And on one hand, it's like, it's kind of like, listen, Instagram was great because it did this singular thing, right? It was a great place to see photos. And it slowly degraded and Me Too'd its way, you know, by adding stories. But the thing is that stories has provided some great entertainment, some good, it's a different kind of format, that sort of thing. You know, the TV thing and this four-way group video chat thing, me, like, I'm never going to use this. I have no desire to group video chat with people, but that's fine. So I just don't use it. Like IGTV, I don't want to scroll through more video, especially portrait size video. So the conversation I was having this past weekend is like, all right, so just don't use it, right? And that argument between functionality you don't like in an app and getting all mad that they're adding it and changing your app, or just saying, oh, this isn't for me, and just let it collect dust, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know. But I do think to a certain degree, Instagram is doing a little too much with the app. And you got to remember the singular purpose of what that app was for and what made it so great. So
I agree. Yeah. It is definitely like opening up with the new icons. It's very busy. It's like, there's so much going on, and now I feel just as overwhelmed. You know, I'm starting to feel that overwhelming feeling that I feel when I get on Facebook. Mm. It's, you know, once Facebook went downhill for me when it started to get really busy. I was there in the college
days.
And it
did everything and everything more.
I don't want it to do everything. I wanted to do a couple of things really darn well. I want a social network to do that. I want my phone does that. It does a couple of things really darn well, those things that I rely on. You know, taking photos and calling people, whatever. Instagram doesn't have to do everything. It really doesn't. And Facebook, I mean, this is just, what's going to happen to Duo? Like, all these video calling things are coming on. Like, how is Google going to have any app trajectory if there's just so much stuff out there?
No one's wondering.
Well, no one's Duo.
I'm wondering. For all of you out there, I'm wondering what's going to happen to Duo.
No one is wondering Duo. No one.
I
think it's a different set of like audiences, right? For me, if you're using something like Duo or FaceTime or a dedicated communicating app, you're talking to a set of friends who are already like in your close circle, right? But for Instagram, I mean, Flowy maybe use it a bit differently for me, but I have a different group of people I interact with on Instagram, even in the DMs. Like, it's maybe people I've gotten to know through work more than, you know, my actual childhood friends. So the people who I am friends with on there, I would love to just have a random video chat with them about something. I was like a little appalled, Ron, when you said degraded, because I actually think Instagram having added those features isn't a bad thing. I don't think that the app has completely degraded. I think that it's easy enough to avoid, like you said, those features that you don't want to use. IGTV is not very obtrusive. In my experience, it's at the top. It's one button at the corner. And when I start scrolling, which is the first thing I do when I start using Instagram, it goes away. So it's not like it's really hindering my experience so much.
Oh, I don't know about that. It stays at the top. And if you don't click on it, it's that bright orange. Oh, it's like I wish there was a way to – I wish they could give you a little more control over the functionality that you want to use. Like, you know, like my wife was telling me that some of her friends – never use stories at all, and they just scroll right past it and never use it at all. They should have the ability to turn it off, and then you just don't see it. I don't know. I'm fine with adding new functionality. Just give the user control.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that being able to hide that bar or that icon would be nice. It is a bright orange, and it is quite glaring, and I do get a lot of notifications about people's shows whom I don't want to watch. However, as a person who's aspiring to have her own IGTV show,
That's the difference there. It's great for content creators, which I totally acknowledge and get and see. And I'm already, you know, part of my day job, you know, looking at it, saying, okay, well, how can we use this to connect to our audience and things like that? But as the end user, it's just, I don't know. Yeah. I got a question about IGTV and how it will archive. Like, when you go to an account, are you just going to see a year's worth of video? There's so many questions. I just seem short-sighted. I'm sorry. I don't want to get too delayed. So
I think it's good. I think it's good to have the totally different perspectives on IGTV. I still don't even know how I feel about it, but I haven't spent a whole lot of time playing with it. Yeah. You know,
I have a feeling you are going to have. And I'm sorry if I'm
me.
If I'm just coming out of this and nowhere, but I have a feeling that. Once your daughters get a little older and start to use this stuff more often, because it's going to be in your face and you have to like,
I have to understand.
It's going
to
be more in your face right now. Like, you don't really need Instagram.
I mean, I use Instagram.
When you do. You're very good at stories.
Oh, yeah. I think I've only ever done like one story.
They were good
but it was
stories.
Fun.
They were funny. I was entertained.
I just don't have enough time for all this stuff, man.
It's a lot of work.
Yes. It's like producing content for your social
network.
That's
why I just can't go on it all the time because I'm like, oh crap, I got to produce something.
I know. So that's a pressure I don't need. I produce a lot of things. Like this show. Like this next story,
oh God,
Ron.
Is that her life?
Okay. Well, yeah. So last week I missed the show, and the biggest regret I had for missing it was not being able to talk to you guys about the Google Podcast app, the much ballyhooed, awaited podcast app. And in a nutshell, my opinion was it was very underwhelming, and I was actually a little disappointed. And then I would hope that Google has lots of updates in the queue to make it actually something more than just a standard podcast player you can get from the Google Play Store. And here we are a week later. And they're already starting to roll out new functionality. So clearly Google gets it. They want to get something to market. That's fine. But you know, these new features that are coming in the beta version of the Google app, a new trim silence feature for podcasts is going to be available or is available. So you can trim that silence. And it works on downloaded and stream podcasts, which honestly – it makes sense on downloaded, but to also do it to streaming podcasts is pretty
cool.
That's the Google, you know, the Google foo that I want to see.
Yes.
And the biggest thing I thought was missing was the lack of Chromecast or cast support. And supposedly cast support is coming soon. So like, I'm shocked that Google would ship a product without its own product baked in. But what are you going to do? Yeah. But the underwhelmingness of the Google podcast, I was very anti it last week. But after the events of this week, I can see that, you know, they're going to add to it and it's going to keep evolving. Maybe in a few months it becomes something to be reckoned with at this point. I just think there's so much opportunity with it for discovery and being able to detect, okay, you search for these things. Here are podcasts you're into, like combining that whole Google magic with podcasts. I'd love to see it. But we'll see. But last week when you guys talked about it, you talked about the idea of being able to help fund or help, you know, kind of support creators. And Google Podcasts does allow for embedding a donate button on the show page.
I don't know how you do it. I can't figure out how you do it, but it's possible.
I was just going to say, as a content creator, we need to figure this out quick. So that's for sure. But that's cool that they are, you know, figuring out ways to support podcasters, because that's the biggest challenge for podcasters. A lot, you know, thousands and thousands of independent content creators, they need some level of support. And Mark Heath posted on Google Plus said that the app Satchel, which I'd never heard of before, allows users to contribute to the podcast's Patreon accounts. So you can link your Patreon account directly to your account on Satchel, which now I need to add to my list to figure out how to do that as well too. So so still I'm not using Google Podcasts as my daily driver yet. I'm still on Pocket Cast, but I'm keeping an eye on these updates. So
cool stuff. Podcast listener, like do you listen to a lot of podcasts, Sherilyn? And if so, did Google Podcasts fill fill any shortcomings of other ones?
Currently, I listen to a grand total of one podcast.
Awesome.
Which one? Yeah. Is it a car? It better not be a Kardashian one.
No, but it also starts with a K. It's the kind of funny podcast where they do Marvel Cinematic Universe and X-Men Cinematic Universe movies in review. And they do a new one a week. So it's freaking awesome.
Nice.
It's the best thing ever. But I listen to that through Spotify. And so as a basic podcast listener, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
I have Pocket Cast downloaded, but I don't use it.
Yeah. Well, I'd be curious then from that perspective, because I mean, I feel like we all listen to so many podcasts that we're so used to.
I ditched radio for podcasts.
Yeah, totally.
I ditched radio years ago. Yeah. Well, you want to hear what's sad is that looking at my Pocket Cast right now, I have... 15 shows with unlistened episodes.
And you listen to them all every week?
Well, no, but that's how many I'm behind on. WTF, I've got 24 unlistened episodes that I've kept in there that I like.
You're like someday.
Someday I'll get to them. The summer when there's no TV to watch, I'll get to them. I don't know.
Sure. And finally, I thought this was kind of interesting.
I
heard about this game.
Hilarious.
Anyone played the new Westworld game? No.
I started and then I just didn't get past like the introduction.
Sometimes those onboarding introductions take a while. Anyone also played the old Fallout Shelter game and maybe notice any striking similarities between the two? Had you ever played Fallout Shelter?
No.
Okay, so that came out, I think, a couple of years ago at this point. And Bethesda, the creator of Fallout Shelter, is now suing Warner Brothers, the creator of the Westworld game, claiming it is a, quote, blatant ripoff. They say it has the same or highly similar game design, art style, animations, features, and other gameplay elements. It alleges that actually the same code from Fallout Shelter is found in the Westworld game, including an early version bug that was in an early version of Fallout Shelter that they later removed, from what I understand. Yep. That exists within the Westworld game. So there's total evidence, apparently, of lifting code straight up. And, you know, from that perspective, you know, copying something like game mechanics and stuff, that's really hard to act upon legally. But copying code outright, like, that is a no-no.
That's crazy.
Looks exactly like Fallout Shelter.
Yeah, there are ways in which it does.
It's just not...
There are a lot of games on the Play Store that look and play very similarly, like all of those Jeweled games, and you know, like there's so many games that do this. So it's hard to say, well, you can't have a similar game mechanic to our game, even if we did it, you know, something very unique. But when there's straight up code that's lifted and found, that's the same between the two, then it gets very actionable.
I'm also just disturbed by a Westworld game, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of disturbed by the Fallout Shelter game, yet I still play it. It's a lot of fun.
All right.
Anyways. All right, should we do this? Should we get in the arena?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, we will move through this because we got a time to hit here.
We got some sleepy East Coasters.
That's right. Yeah, okay, last week's episode, 374, twit.to/AAApoll374. You voted for your favorite app of that week last week. And, Ron, you were out, so you don't get any points for last week. That's going to hurt you a little bit.
It's a bummer.
Satellite tracker, number one, 55%. Way to go, Flo. Yeah, I mean, resounding win. Satellite tracker shows you the satellites that are passing overhead.
I'm glad that resonated.
Yes, it definitely did. Mr. Number, not Mr. Mobile, as I said many times, 30%, second place, and Samsung Good Lock. I mean, let's be real. You had to know that was going to come in last, 15%. So there we have it.
And it doesn't look like Wade County is in the chat room this week.
That's
so
okay.
I'm trying to wait. So Flo came in first.
Yeah.
Flo came in first.
So Flo gets 48. She's got 53 points. Jason, what did you come in?
I came in second.
Second. So then you've got three. So you've got about 53. So you guys are tied. You guys in around low 50s, the same. I'm still at 66. And then guests are in the 70s. So guests, me, and then you guys. So there you go.
All right. Nice on the spot tabulation. No pressure, Sherilyn, but
I know.
You guys are winning right now. You're winning, so no pressure. But we won't have you go quite yet.
I should go first since I missed last week, right?
Yeah.
So all right. It'll be Ron, then Flo, then
cool.
Then me, and then Sherilyn.
So I found a neat little app this morning, and once I found it, I immediately played with it. I'm like, oh, this is my app for the arena. If you're like me, you're really into data and information, and most recently, I've been getting into data visualization. My day job, I did a couple cool infographics kind of projects, and one of them was all data kind of stuff, you know, about Luke Cage. So that was pretty cool. So when I saw Statflix, I was like, oh man, this is pretty neat. And basically you log in with your Netflix account and then it goes through your entire history of being on Netflix and gives you data such as total time watched for TV shows, for movies, the single day you watched the most amount of content. And then it gives you a detailed day-by-day history of how many hours you watched. And if you pay the 99 cents in-app purchase, little extra payment there, you can unlock the pro version, which will show you exactly what you watched on each day, which is crazy. And then you could also look at your activity to see what the most amount of content you watch by time of day. So do you watch things at night or in the morning or whatnot or wherever? And then it also, once you pay the in-app purchase to unlock the pro data, you find out the TV series that you watch the most. So for example, looking at my data, The West Wing tops all Netflix. I've watched 108 hours and 19 minutes of that show, and that by far is the largest one. Second to that is 30 something. And then Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations, rest in peace. And then it goes down from there. I thought Twin Peaks would be more, but I've only watched 24 hours of Twin Peaks. So there you go. But yeah, so Statflix, it's a great way to data visualize your Netflix stats.
Wow, so, that's some interesting visualization.
Yeah, it's pretty cool here, right? So yeah, you got to pay the premium to see. It's only 99 cents, Jason. I can Venmo you 99 cents if you want to do it. Tap on the info, maybe. That's info about the app. How did I do it? Go back to your activity.
Here, hold on. It's got to load again.
It's going to change, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So for free, you get like basic visualization.
Yeah,
right?
for free, you just get a basic history. You can see how many hours per day you watched. And then once you tap on a day, what you do is you unlock it. There we go.
Okay, so let's see here. This is real-time purchasing of apps. No big deal.
NBD.
But it's really great. What's really great is that it lets you kind of revisit. Like, I'm looking on Sunday, June 12th, 2016. I watched 3 episodes of Ultron, and I remember that day because I was building IKEA furniture that day. And while I was watching Voltron.
Evil Genius, the true story of America's most diabolical bank heist, season 1, part 1, yeah. The heist.
It's pretty cool, right?
That was May 15th.
If you go to your activity, you can see on the bottom nav, you can see time of day that you watch. Okay. And then if you tap series, you can see all the series and how much. Yeah, very focused on the 10 o'clock
hour. I mean, seriously, that's the only time in my life that I ever watch TV is like between 9, like 10 and 11. That's just all I got. Very neat.
Yeah. And awesome. For me, it goes all the way back to 2008. So I've got nearly 10 years of data in here, which is always fun to play with.
That is really neat. I love it.
I would love for it to export, to be able to export data. And you can export with sharing. But I don't know how much data it actually does on the export because I haven't played with it that much. But yeah. So
I want to know what's crazy is I remember this day. Just based on the videos on the
day
movies,
before Christmas,
National
right?
Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Private Parts, and Ghostbusters. I was down in the basement of the house building my daughter's dollhouse for Christmas.
Nice.
And I just set Netflix up, and it took me a long time.
Yeah, that took you a while. That's a lot of movies.
Well, and I think at the end I just ended up watching, you know, when I was done. But I totally remember this specific day. It's weird that I tapped into it. That's really cool. Statflix.
Yeah, very cool.
Love it.
Netflix, free in the Google Play Store and 99 cents to unlock the premium features to see actually what you literally watched on a single day. So
that is neat. Awesome.
Yeah.
This is an app that I didn't know existed until we got a dog. Why would I know it existed? Because it's dog related until I got a dog. Well, that's why. We had to go out of town and we realized that putting our dog in like an actual service around town is really expensive. It's also kind of very expensive if you want your dog to actually have a lot of like free life. Range life sort of experience, playing with other dogs, that sort of stuff. A lot of times you end up getting like, oh, we'll take them out for an hour and they'll run around with dogs, and then the rest of the time they're just like, you know, in like a little cage. And depending on how you feel about your dog, you might decide, hey, I don't actually like that. I like my dog to have more of a free range life when they're not with me. So there is an app and service called Rover. And basically this is kind of, it's kind of like Airbnb or, it's a sharing economy app essentially. And what you can do is you can find people in your area. So dog boarding, I'll go ahead in this section, people in your area that are willing to watch a dog. They're rated by other users. Everybody sets their own price per night, as you can see here. We could tap into this one, and it tells you, kind of gives you a little bit of insight into the person and what to expect there. Non-smoking household, has one dog, no other pets. So if you want your dog to go somewhere where they have a companion for the time that you're gone, there you go. Has an unfenced yard. If your dog is not good at staying in a certain area without, you know, with a fence that's non-existent, then you probably don't want to go this place. Lives in an apartment, doesn't have a whole lot of space potentially. And it's just kind of it's just a really great service for figuring out, you know, how close are they? What is their dog? It's an American Staffordshire Terrier, a pit bull mix. So you can go through all of here. You can switch over to the reviews and find what other users have thought about that person. I put my dog here and I had a tremendous experience. All of the different services that particular person offers, and it goes deep, right? Like, it's not just boarding, it's house sitting. They can stay in your home and watch your pets there, drop in for 30-minute check-ins. And how much is it for a drop-in? I have to imagine it's less than, you know, 15, 20 bucks, 17 bucks, that sort of stuff. Doggy daycare in the sitter's home, drop off for the day, pick them up at the end, dog walking. All this stuff is arranged here. And you can actually also go in here and become a sitter or a walker for dogs and make money on the side. You know, it's kind of your side hustle. Involves dogs. That's pretty awesome. So we used Rover a handful of times, and we, you know, it was amazing. We found this woman. She actually lives on a ranch, and she has a dog, and then has all of this acreage with, you know, it's all fenced in acreage. So basically, when our dog was there for a week, every single day, our dog was just out running around with the other dog in acres for like days. And it cost a little bit less than what we were paying to take her to like an actual service or whatever. And her quality of time was just so much better there. So it's worth checking out. Rover, R-O-V-E-R. It's a cool service. If you've got a dog and you want to kind of take care of them to a different level than what you're used to, this is a way to do it. It's called Rover.
We used this for our cat.
Oh, really?
Three weeks ago.
Oh, so it's not just dogs.
Well, our sitter had a family emergency, so she fell through, and then her backup fell through. So we went with Rover, and my husband just booked it for a dog, but then explained to the person, actually, you're watching a cat. So, and it worked out. It's like the
I'm
person,
happy that worked out. That's a little bit of a switch.
Our cat has special needs, so we needed somebody. But yeah, and they like leave you a picture on there to let you to so you can see how the animal's doing every day.
Oh yeah, we got totally. Yeah. We got photos throughout the day of like, hey, check out Sugar.
I need photos. You know? Like, you got to send me photos. I need to know that you saw my animal, that she was up and about.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, awesome. So check it out. It's called Rover. Now, Sherilyn, I have your app installed, and it was one of those apps that I was like, God, I swear we've had this on the show, but we had never had it in the arena. I know we've talked about it in the past, but it's never been in the arena. So go ahead and talk about it, and I'll launch it and see if it's
changed.
There's
a lot of apps that have not been in the arena, actually, that I was struggling. But anyway, this is an app that, instead of being surprising or unexpected, it's something that I'll keep installing from phone to phone, no matter how many times I change phones. If you've ever kind of wondered how people get those really pretty looking pictures on Instagram or Facebook, they probably use something like Meitu to do it. This is a very popular Chinese photo editing app. And if, you know, I'm being honest, selfie editing app, if you've seen those like cartoon effect portraits done that look just very kawaii and anime-like, they probably did it using Meitu. There's a lot of different sections to this app. You start out with what I believe Jason is playing with now, which is the selfie camera. It can do anything from live effects, like these very Snapchat-style masks, I think, at some point. You can add stickers. You can do anything that's wild and wacky, but you can also use it for more like subtle edits. And it doesn't just have to be selfies. If you've got a landscape that you just want to, you know, add a pretty filter on, you can also do that. I personally like Meitu the most because it's got a really good library of filters that are similar to VSCO, VSCO. Mm-hmm. But there's just such a greater range of options in there. They're not all... I mean, I think it appeals to a very particular taste. You're having way too much.
you have no idea. This is like so down my alley. These face apps, I love them.
I mean, and it's not. It's fun, right? It's not like Facetune. I mean, not to like hate on Facetune, but with a name like Facetune, you can't help but think that that's really specifically just to change the way you look. Yeah. But with something like Meitu, I mean, you can see that ArtBot is super fun. You've got they have materials for themes like the World Cup or Pride, which I like. I think it's nice to see Meitu as an app grow into something that embraces a lot of different things. They used to be very problematic in their language, where when it comes to editing your portrait, they'd say like, oh, fix your face by making it smaller. Like, no, I don't necessarily think a smaller face is better. Right. Now they've done it so that it goes both ways. So like it's a slider and you can make your face go wider or narrower. And so I kind of just want to applaud them for that, for having made that step as well, in addition to all the tools that they already provide. So there's just so much. There's just so much you can do with this app, with your photos, that it's hard to kind of just go into detail about every single thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of different sections. I'm trying to figure out Tech Magic when I load that.
Try it now. Oh, hit dimension. No, do girls photo booth, even though you're not a girl.
All right.
You can take a photo, yeah. You're over 13, the top one, I
think. Thank you for explaining that. I was like, I'm going to hit the wrong one. Okay, so I line it up, and then I take the picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this made the rounds. Well, yeah, that's fine. Hit the check mark it'll take a while. This made the rounds a while ago. Everyone was doing these selfies. You'll recognize them once it's finished. You'll see some of them in the thumbnails too. But yeah, they give you that really. There you go. Look at you, Jason.
I clean up pretty well, don't I? Yeah, Cosmos.
It's a little bit ridiculous, but it's all in the name of fun, I think. So,
okay, this is the one. This is the app from like a year or two ago, and there were some like privacy things that bubbled up around this. Was that right?
I don't remember what the details were. I think there were some I don't think it was necessarily spying on you, but some sort of account information was being like compromised in some way. I can't remember the details. But I never had an account, so I don't feel like you need to, but
right. Yeah. Like I did not allow like access to like contacts and stuff. I pretty much just opened up the camera when I was opening the app, and you have permission controls on all that kind of stuff, if that concerns you. But I really love this picture, and it might, I'm not saying it will, but it might become my profile.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
Pretty fantastic. It's called Meitu, Meitu, and you can check it out and have some fun with it, like I obviously did. All right, Flo.
All right. I've got a less dynamic app to show off.
Yeah, but, follow that one up.
A utilitarian one nonetheless. So we talk a lot about browsers on this show. Chrome browser is the browser that comes by default with your Android device, but you don't have to use it if you don't want to. So one browser that I found that I kind of enjoy is Kiwi Browser. I actually don't know if it has any relation to... Let me put this over here so we're not... I actually don't know if it has any relation to New Zealand, because it has a name Kiwi in it, but I will tell you that it is a very fun, private, a little more private version of Chrome, if I would put it that way. Except it's run by a developer, so, you know, a bit
made
of a
in
smaller...
Estonia, so... Oh,
wow, okay, you got good Baltics right there.
Yeah.
So yes, this is Kiwi Browser. So the main features, this is based on Chromium 68, so it looks just like Chrome when you're in it. Even the menu scheme looks just like Chrome. So look at that. I mean, you can't even tell that I'm not in Chrome. Even when you go into the settings, they all look like Chrome. They're exactly the same as the Chrome settings. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of power going on here. So when you go into the settings menu, it tells you how many ads and trackers have been blocked since you've been browsing. There's also a powerful, let's see, there's a do not track setting on here that I've enabled. There's a powerful ad block that takes away intrusive ads. There's also cryptojacking protection so that nobody can take over your device to try and mine cryptocurrency, because it's a thing that happens in this day and age.
Mm-hmm,
so you don't have to worry about any of those things. Also, this blocks notifications, blocks trackers. It automatically accepts our website is using cookies messages, so you don't have to deal with saying, okay, I agree. I know what I'm getting into. I've been reading the internet for a while now. There's a custom downloads folder, so you can choose where all of your downloaded files are stored, which is nice and convenient. And it also, one other thing that it does that I haven't tested myself is that it plays videos and music even with the screen is off. So if you've got a website that you like to stream from, you can just stream from that in the background and then listen to the audio without worry that it's going to shut off when you shut your phone off. So you don't have to leave your screen on. It's free. It's very new. It's still being developed, but it's got a good 4.6 score. I've been using it for about a week and it was updated less than 10 days ago. So this is constantly being bettered.
Being improved is the Kiwi browser.
Oh, also, one more thing I want to show you. Night mode! Yay!
Ooh, nice. Darker interface.
That's all.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Charlotte?
I was going to say, are we allowed to ask questions in Arena? I have no idea.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure, go for it.
Can you, since this is based on Chrome, right, can you like sign into your Google account and have all your like logins and your history kind of ported over? Or?
So this actually saves differently. Mm. It saves it separately. So when you go into the password management, it'll show you. It's basically doing it this way. Yes.
The Kiwi layer.
Ooh. Yeah. So it's just whatever it stores internally, which I think is supposed to make it a little safer. The idea.
So you don't end up getting like your Chrome account.
No.
Or your
so
Google
no smart
account,
lock or anything.
Like bookmarks or anything like that.
There's no smart lock or anything like that. But you don't want to track stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
At least I don't think so.
Kiwi Browser is the name. And check it out. Kiwi Browser on the Play Store. So we have four awesome apps for you to check out. twit.to/AAApoll375. And you can place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Statflix, Rover, MeToo, or Kiwi Browser? twit.to/AAApoll375 is where you go. Place your vote, and we'll check in on it next week and see where we land. Of course,
where's Victor going to land?
We're awaiting Victor's vote, which was for MeToo.
Wow.
Yay.
Victor's going to have some fun with the selfies.
Victor's going to install that for his kids, I think. They're going to have fun with the selfies.
Yeah, it's for them.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, cool. Well, this was a lot of fun. And Sherilyn, really just super stoked that you came on the show tonight. And we would love to have
Thanks
you back. It was
me.
A lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun for sure.
Right.
Not
on.
What I expected, though.
Well, I hope good in the end, and
very
yeah.
much so.
Right on.
I'll bring my own Oreos next time.
Awesome. Well, I'll try and give you a heads up.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, there will be there possibly will be a new dessert then.
So it might be pie.
And so things get a lot more difficult if it's pie or Pez
or poppycock.
But yes.
Or Pocky.
Or Pocky.
Profiterol.
Yeah.
Profiteroles.
Or Pop Rocks.
Profiterol. I can never say the word that Ron just said.
Profiteroles.
Or pumpkin pie. It really could be a million things, but regardless, we'll be in touch. We'd love to have you back. Sherilyn, where do you want people to follow all your awesome work online?
Yeah, you can follow me on twitter.com/SherilynLowe. It's right there.
Right on. Excellent. Pudding. Peppermint. Okay, we'll stop. Pop-Tarts. Well, I promise I'll stop. Okay, Flo, go. What do you got going?
What have I got going on? Just check back here July 5th on the Twit Network for
this yes.
episode of Know How with Megan Maroney, because that's all I got going on right now. I'm actually taking a couple days off this week because, quite frankly, I want to. So
yeah.
And you can when you're a freelancer. But when I get back, we film our first episode of Know How. So
fantastic. All on smart home.
All on smart home.
And IoT and all that stuff.
Yes, the Internet of Things.
Things, THANGS.
As Megan and I have taken to calling it, the Internet
like
of
it.
Things.
I like it. Cool. We'll definitely check back in on that because that's right around the corner.
Please do.
Ron, what about you, sir?
Yeah, you can always follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at RonXO, where you can see all my special brand of nonsense and just getting through June. June was a hell month. Looking forward to July to relax a little, but not really, because July is going to be crazy as well, too.
The craziness never ends.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the way of life. As you get older, it's just the way it goes. Thank you, Ron. Victor, thank you as always. We appreciate it.
No problem, man.
Excellent. I hope that you got it.
Sorry, I was like,
it's okay.
Taking selfies.
Don't ever.
A man of few words.
I didn't know that that's what you were doing. As for me, I'm doing shows all over the Twit Network, although I will be gone. I leave on a road trip on Friday. I'm going to go to Bend, Oregon. Really excited about it.
That sounds fun.
Camping all the way up and all the way back. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be the guy at the campfire with my BlackBerry. but you guys will be holding down the fort next week, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if you want to find me on the internet, just go to yellowgoldmusic.com. You can find some music that I made, or don't. But if you want to, it's there.
I got your Kickstarter t-shirt, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I haven't even seen that yet.
Yes.
Oh, cool. You're not. I couldn't help but notice you're not wearing it tonight. Anyways, we'll talk. That's it for this week. Voicemails 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter at Android Show. Arena apps list. If you want to know every app that we've ever talked about in the arena, and it is a large list, go to twit.to/Android apps. And thanks to the folks that work week after week keeping that up to date. We really appreciate it. Show notes of past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. That's our home on the web where you can find everything that you need to know about this show. All of our episodes are there. If you haven't watched since episode one, you've got a lot of work ahead of you. So get started. You can come watch the show live. All you got to do is email tickets at twit.tv. We've got a couple of fine folks who are in the audience right now. And we feel very special to have them here. So thank you guys for sitting in and making us feel important. If you can't make it live in the studio, you can check us out on the stream, which is what most people end up doing. That's twit.tv/live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. That's twit.tv/live. And I guess that's it. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. See you later. So let's do this real quick.
Let's get this started.
It's time to taste some Oreos. We do this at the beginning of the show, and then it ends up at the end of the show. It's complicated. This week, we have a new flavor. A new thin flavor called salted. Is it caramel or caramel? What do you guys say?
Whatever it is, it's better than last week's disgusting pumpkin spice expired Oreos.
I'm going to vote caramel.
Caramel?
Because there's two.
So is caramel and caramel, are they two different things?
Yeah.
Caramel is a city in California.
Yeah, but sometimes I say, it's got caramel in it. And so am I wrong?
I think we should spend the weekend in caramel.
All right, fine. Your point is well taken. Here you go, Flo. This is salted caramel. They are thins for some reason. But, thins isn't necessarily bad. It's just different.
Is there actual salt and sodium in the ingredients? Is it salty?
I don't see any.
It smells caramelly.
I don't see any chunks of salt, but that doesn't mean that it isn't salted.
No sea salt?
Yeah, exactly.
Sprinkled. All right, I'm digging in.
That'd be nice. Okay, we're going to dig in.
The silence as they eat. Sherilyn, this is so we've been tasting Oreos since the new Android version was named Oreo. And once they're done tasting it, they'll provide their rating for us. You can see the previous ratings at twit.to/Oreo. Is that right, Jason?
Yep, twit.to/Oreo.
You can see all the Oreo flavors that have been rated. All right, so initial feedback.
Really yummy.
Yeah, these are really great.
These are really good.
This is a really good flavor.
Why is there a little hand over there? Oh.
Yes, welcome to the strange vortex that is all about Android.
Don't call attention to the hand.
Goodbye, hand. Take these Oreos. Leave me a few.
Oh, you want these Oreos, hand. Yeah. You want these Oreos.
God. Leave me a few for later.
What are our impressions here?
Wow,
that's a really tasty cookie. I got to say, that's
really
one of my favorites.
I'm putting this whole thing in my mouth.
What is the caramel salt ratio flavoring?
Light on salt, I'd say.
Yeah, more caramel.
More on caramel, yeah. Could be saltier. Maybe the connoisseur would pop them open, sprinkle on a little sea salt. I don't know. If you're doing that, you're crazy. It's hard for me to give anything a 10. I would probably give it a 9. This is right up there. This is really good.
Yeah, I give it a 9
as well. I would totally get a package of those.
I also give it a 9. This is so good, and I had two of them.
Yeah, I finished it. Like I had three separate bites of the cookie and I finished it, and I don't normally do that with the cookies we bring on the show. So yeah, I say big and little thumbs up.
Wow. Go get yourself a pack of these. I think they're at the grocery store right now.
So this is a current flavor. I can't remember when I got these. I know they're not expired.
I think I saw them recently.
Okay. Pick them up.
The biggest question is how much packaging did they come in, Jason?
Well, I got these. Well, no, I did get these. Did I get these shipped? I don't think I got these at the grocery store. Every package of Oreos that I've received, other than the popcorn or whatever.
These were launched Oreos last year.
Came in normal packaging. Okay. So these were last year?
These were launched last year.
But you can still get them.
Yes, but you can still get them as new.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So they're in production.
All right.
But they were introduced
contrary to pumpkin spice.
Hello,
which,
welcome back.
Hello. Pumpkin spice, we did not like.
Oh, however, it was awful.
However, I came back to work the next day. I meant to throw them out because they were totally expired and they were not gone. Good. And yeah, they were almost all gone. Everybody was like, I love those Oreos from last night. I was like, what is going on here? This is weird. Anyways, all right.
Oh, also just from a Google search, there is a pronunciation guide on Google for caramel.
So it's caramel.
Caramel. Caramel.
Okay. Please have some Oreos. They're really delicious. Okay. All right. You just ate dinner. You're missing out because they're really good. So later when the show's done.
I'm actually hungry now, so thanks a lot.
What's that?
I'm actually hungry now watching you guys.
Oh.
Sorry.
Have you eaten dinner already, though?
No.
No. Oh, my goodness. That's even worse. I'm sorry.
It's worse.